Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Everyone's doing well. That was an interesting way to start the service today. I'm wondering what the YouTube people are thinking right now. I'll tell you one thing they know. We don't know hardly any of the words to any of the songs that we sing. That they know. And I love that Natalie and Elias were first day up there, and we're all watching them. Absolutely no pressure whatsoever. None at all. But hey, here's something that I did notice as we all turned around, even though Jane and I didn't realize it. And thanks for cluing us in, Sandra, that everyone was facing the other way, because we would have just kept going, eh? We were ready. We were just going to keep going. You know what I noticed in the middle of that? Like, it totally takes you out of your comfort zone when you're used to doing things the way that you're used to doing things, right? And then God shows up and he's like, yeah, I know that you're used to doing things the way that you're used to doing things. But here's the thing. You're going to do it different today. And so what I noticed was, well, there was a lot of laughing happening as we were doing this. And why not? Why shouldn't we be laughing? Why shouldn't we have joy? Right? Like when I was at a church out in Calgary, when I was working at a church, the worship leader, the pastor's wife there, she battled with cancer for many years, and eventually she did succumb, and she woke up singing with the saints. But she was the worship leader, and she put on all kinds of she was powerful at worship. And she even talked me into joining the choir once. Never again, but I did it once. And she was just, and one of the things that she always said to us, even when I was in the choir that for that one season, was don't be so serious when you're worshiping. Like, can I just see your smiles? And she always said that, and it stuck with me for years. Like, why shouldn't I be smiling and laughing and full of joy when I'm worshiping the Father, even when we're singing songs that are a little bit, you know, more solemn and more settled? Why shouldn't that fill our hearts with joy? And so whenever I do sing, I always remind myself, oh, like, do it with a smile. Do it with a smile and sing with a smile. Everyone was smiling today. Even if some of those smiles were a little uncomfortable, you mean I have to do this instead of this? Hey, you know what? There was a lot of laughing and smiling. And the cool thing was we got to see everyone that walked in late. I love that you did this when you walked in, though. And like, we can all see you. That was awesome. But it did stop me from having to just go for my nervous pee before I preach. So there's that. So this might be short today. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. This is the series that we've been starting with Tim. I'm sure, Tim, Barb, we miss you guys. You said you would be watching. I'm assuming that you are. And probably my phone has all kinds of texts all morning already, because we already know that's Tim. And he'll be texting. As he's preaching, he's texting me. So we know that much about Tim. And so he started our series, Extraordinary. And what we're doing with this series is we're looking at the Holy Spirit. We're looking at the Holy Spirit. We're looking at how the Holy Spirit works, how he moves, how he gives us gifts, all these sorts of things, because the Holy Spirit is the one that's here that's going to help us walk life and walk out our life journey. And so today we're going to continue with that. And as we go forward, we're going to be looking at some of the things. We're going to be looking at stuff like ordinary living. We're going to look at extraordinary faith. We're going to look at extraordinary relationships, extraordinary growth, both spiritually and numerically, because we want to see this place filled. So both in that, extraordinary belief, extraordinary grace. We're going to be looking at all of these sorts of things in the coming weeks as we go along. And we've looked at some of those already. And you know what? Like, do you know what all of these subjects actually have in common, besides the fact that they're all extraordinary, and that I said extraordinary a bunch of times? And I don't know whether to say extraordinary or extraordinary. English isn't my first language. So I'm never really sure. You know what actually the common thing between all of that is that there's this thread. There's this thread that kind of weaves in and out of living and faith and relationships and learning and growth and love. It's the Holy Spirit. Like, the Holy Spirit is this thread And he just weaves his way up and down and through and around. And he comes in us and through us and around us. And he encourages us. And he convicts us too. Like, don't think it's just all, you know, roses and puppies and all that kind of stuff. He comes in and he goes, oh, nope, not that way, this way. And he convicts and he works in our lives and he affects what we can believe for and how we can believe for things. He affects how we relate to one another. Like, he affects how we have relationships with people. He affects how we have relationships within the body, within City Light. But also he affects the way we relate to people outside when we're going to be knocking on doors and asking questions, mowing lawns and all that sort of stuff. He helps to grow our roots. Like, he grows our roots deep and healthy and strong. He softens the hearts of people and he draws them into this place. I read this quote this week, and if you don't remember anything else about this sermon today, I hope you do, but if you don't remember anything else, remember this: we will almost always miss out on something that God has for us if we try and limit the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. We will almost always miss out on something that God has for us if we try to limit the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to look at a couple of gifts that the Holy Spirit actually has for us. So our main scripture going forward in this series is going to be out of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. No, it's not working. I thought I'd look. Let me read that for you. This is out of the NLT. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways. Oh. Whose phone was that? I'm interrupting this right now. So, my brother is a preacher as well. And he wrote me this week a little meme. He sent me a little video. And he goes, hey, this happens to me all the time when I'm preaching. And it's someone's phone, and it's got like some gangster rap that's playing. And the guy answers it in the middle of the guy's sermon. And my brother writes to me, and he goes, this literally just happened to me this Sunday. I'm like, gangster rap? He's like, gangster rap. I'm like, ah, Latinos. I said, yeah, it happens to me too. I call him out. He's like, me too, I call him out. Ha, 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 ha. And we laughed, and we laughed. We did, we laughed. Therefore, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Let me say that last part again. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can what? So that we can help each other. Oh, I like that. So that we can go together. So that we can do life together. So that we can encourage each other. So that we can build a kingdom together. So that we can love people together. So that we can help each other. So this morning, we're going to be looking at two gifts that are given to us. Gifts of knowledge and gifts of wisdom. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 11 for you as well here. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have. What are they for? So that we can help each other. And so today we're going to look at that first part of that verse. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge. What happens with wisdom and knowledge a lot of the times for us, at least it happens for me, is that I kind of bunch them together. I make them interchangeable. They kind of mean the same thing for me after a while. But that's not really how it works. They're super closely related, wisdom and knowledge, but they're different. And so knowledge is this. Knowledge is insight. Knowledge is information. Wisdom is the ability to take that insight and then apply it. So we can all have lots of knowledge, but we have to know how to apply it. And that makes us wise. So I'm a word picture guy. I think you guys know that. I love my word pictures. This is how I learn. And so this is how I teach. So I'm going to give you a word picture for this. Imagine this. In medical science, you have a research scientist. And he's in the lab and she. I don't know why I said he right away. I shouldn't just jump to he, because women could be scientists too. Probably better. I should stop going down that road. So here's the scientist, and they're in the lab, and they're working away, and they're running tests, and they're figuring stuff out, and they're going, hey, this works, this is why it works, and this doesn't work, and this is why it doesn't work, and they put all their research together, and they put it all in reports, and they're like, hey, this works, but don't do this other thing. And they have all this knowledge, and they put this knowledge together, but it's the doctor who takes that knowledge and then applies it to your situation when you go to see the doctor. So that's the difference. You have knowledge, you have that research scientist, and then you have wisdom, and you have that doctor going, oh, okay, here's what I see from you, and here's what we're going to do with it. Knowledge and wisdom. So this morning, I want to drop some knowledge on you. Oh, that sounds like I'm starting a gangster rap. Let's go, baby. Gangster rap? No, I don't have gangster rap for you. I don't have enough of that information in my head. But I do have some knowledge, stuff that you probably, if you're taking notes, don't write this down. It's not that important. Here's some. Ready? Information in the world today is doubling at a rate of 12 to 18 months. So in about a year's time, the amount of information that is available to us in the world is doubling. In 1945, when Doug was born, am I close? Too high? In 1945, I'm guessing, my mom was born in 1950, so I'm figuring you're old enough to be my dad. In 1945, the rate of information was doubling every 25 years. It was taking 25 years for information to double. Now it's happening almost every year. Here's another one. This is super important. You're going to want to write this one down. Okay? It's a matter of like your salvation. If you take a brand new Heinz glass ketchup bottle, not the squeezies, but like a glass one. If you take a brand new one, you open it up and you turn it upside down, you know what happens? The average speed of that ketchup pouring out is 25 miles per year. Per year. I'm not making this stuff up. Literally per year. So I hope you wrote that down, because they're going to ask you that question at the pearly gates. If you don't get it right, they're going to be like, you weren't listening to Claudio. That was not wise. Russia consumes the most mayonnaise per capita than any other country. How do I know this? Because Chile, where I'm from, used to be number one. Now we're number seven. We got super lazy with the mayonnaise. So you're welcome. You have some knowledge that you didn't have before today. And the truth is this. We have Like, we have knowledge and we have access to knowledge like never before. It literally took me seconds to Google that on my phone, which is a computer in my pocket. Literally seconds. Hey, interesting facts. And it came up like that. We have access to knowledge like never before. And now you're thinking, okay, but what does that have to do with like the gift of knowledge that Paul is writing about? You can't be talking about the same knowledge. Like, that doesn't sound very holy, Claudio. Like, what are you talking about? Like, the scripture says that it's a special knowledge. That's what the NLT says. And the Passion Translation calls it a revelation knowledge. And the King James calls it the word of knowledge. And the Amplified calls it the word of knowledge and understanding. That can't possibly have anything to do with the rate of speed that ketchup comes out of a bottle. But here's what happens, is that we limit the gift of knowledge to only a supernatural receiving of information that can't be learned by human study. Let me say that again. What we're doing is that we're limiting the gift of the Spirit to what we think it should look like. It can only look this way for it to be a gift of the Spirit. It can only be supernatural. We will almost always miss out on something that God has if we try and limit the Holy Spirit. So yes, supernatural receiving of information is clearly an aspect of the gift of knowledge. I believe that. I've seen it happen. But to stop there is to make it such a rare specimen that it might as well be as extinct as a dodo bird, because you're just not going to see it, because you've only said it only works this way. And I believe in the word of knowledge. I've walked in it. I've had it spoken over me. I've been in that place where I'm like, oh, you said that to me, and now I'm here doing this thing. Like that's my ministry in campus life. Ken Parker had a word of knowledge for me. And he said this, and he said, Claudio, you're going to do this thing, and it's going to look like this. And I was like, absolutely not, you're out of your mind. I don't even really want to work in the church anymore. And years later, here I am, literally hearing the exact same thing that he said. Oh, hey, that's Claudio of the schools. What? When did that happen? Like 10 years ago. So I believe in it, but I don't limit it because I don't want to limit the Holy Spirit. Because what's going to happen is you're going to miss out on something that God has for you if you try and limit what the Spirit can do. There's this doctor, a pastor out of Dallas. He says this, it's a foundational truth. And he says, we all have differing gifts and differing degrees of the same gift. So we can have the gift of knowledge, but we can have different degrees of it. Like, we're going to find that out tomorrow with my gift of painting when we go help Megan paint with our small group. Because I think I'm going to have a different degree of painting than some of the folks that are going to come help tomorrow. So pray for me tomorrow if you think about it. Anyway, we all have differing gifts and we have differing degrees of the same gift, especially true when it comes to the study of the gift of knowledge, because it covers such a wide variety. It covers such a wide variety of experiences that even all the translations that we have available to us in the Bible can't actually capture it well. They can't. I was reading a version, the Living Bible version. Here's what the Living Bible version says in this scripture. It says this, and it actually pares it down to the most natural, down-to-earth aspect of the gift. Someone else may be especially good at studying and teaching. That is no less the gift of knowledge than someone that stands up and says, so says the Lord. Because it is given by who? By the same Spirit for everyone. It covers everything. The gift of knowledge covers the knowledge that comes both from God and indirectly through study and resources. We can't put a limit to what the Holy Spirit is going to do because we're going to surely miss something that God has for us when we put our limits on it. So the highest degree on a level for this gift is the miraculous. Can we agree on that? When someone stands up and says, this, I know this about you. I know that this is going to happen. I know that this has happened. I know that this will happen. That is the highest degree of that gift. It's the miraculous. Again, I got lots of space for that. Like, I got space for the miraculous. I've seen it. I've walked in it. I got all kinds of room for it. But also, there are numerous gifts of knowledge on levels below that, where people have studied. God has given people the gifting of studying and learning and being able to come alongside and then supplement what God has for us in knowledge. How do we know this? How do I know this? Well, God used both to produce the Bible for his people. He used both of those things. And for us, like for most, we love to land on the story of the prophet of Jeremiah. The Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. We love landing on that story. The Lord literally takes his hand and puts it on the mouth of Jeremiah to put words in there. What? Could it get any more miraculous? God put his hand on the mouth of the prophet. We love landing on that. Why? Because it's exciting. Oh, that's so exciting to me. I can picture it. My imagination gets going. And again, I love this idea of pictures rolling in my head. And I can imagine like Jeremiah sitting there and this just brightness coming down and like touching his mouth and like his sensors just going off and brain going like crazy and his pupils just getting huge as he just gets this surge of information in a miraculous way. It's super exciting. It's the action film of this gift. And we love landing on that. And it can happen that way. But it doesn't just happen that way. Let's take a look at Luke and his gospel. Because God used Luke to write the gospel story. And Luke was a scholar. And he was inspired by the Spirit to produce his gospel through research. Luke actually introduces his gospel like this. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples, having carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so that you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. So was Luke any less inspired than Jeremiah? Because I think Jeremiah probably didn't crack open too many books. He wasn't necessarily scholarly. He wasn't a doctor. So which one? Which one was more inspired? Because I say when I pick up the Bible, I would say that Bible is inspired all the way through. Yes? Both are part of the scripture that is inspired by God, which is what? It is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. And God used both in the same way so that we can pick it up and go, this is the heart of God. I read this other quote this week, And it goes like this. Beware of any attempt to limit the Holy Spirit to a level that is too high or a level that is too low. He plays all the notes in the music of life. And that means all of us, not just the super brilliant Christians, but everyone should be excited about this gift because it's available to all of us. And we should all walk in it in the degree that it's available to us. Sometimes we look at it and we're like, again, we start to put our limit on it. And we just start to decide what the Holy Spirit is going to do and what it's going to look like. And we're like, it can only look this way. We can only have someone come up and stand here at the front and speak it out. And then we can only have someone stand up from the back and interpret it. And it can only look that way. It's the only way for it to be holy. And that's the only way I'm going to take any of this for my life. Beware of any attempt to limit the Holy Spirit to a level that is too high or too low. Both are dangerous. Because both of them are limiting him to what we think it should look like. Both work. Walk in both. Have space for both. And be careful with it. Because we fall into traps. I've had some experiences where this has gone sideways. And I'll share one story, just so you know where it can go. It happened here at City Light Church last September. Last September, we went through what we went through. Our pastor couple moved on. The first Sunday, literally, the first Sunday that they were gone, I had to preach. I found out on the Monday that I was going to be preaching on the Sunday. And I knew what we had gone through. And I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? And so I start preparing a message. I get here and I have my message. And no less than 3 people come up and tell me that they have a word from God for the body. No less than 3. The first Sunday that our pastor is gone, I have 3 people approach me with a word from God for the body. 2 of those people hadn't been here in months. In months. That sounds harsh, but I'm just telling you how it went down. In months, they hadn't showed up. The first opportunity, they had a word from God. The 3rd person was Sandra. I told her no. Discernment and wisdom lands on me in that moment, and I know what the response needs to be. I am saying no to people. I am saying no with authority. And I'm saying yes to Sandra to come share the word. Because you have to understand that this isn't about grandstanding. It's not about having to stand up at the front, and that's the only way that you can help each other in the body. Because what are the gifts for? To help one another. Not to make it about yourself. So, be very careful as to where you think the Spirit will work. Don't limit him too high, and don't limit him too low. Because that's not how he works. And that brings us to the other side of the coin. Wisdom. Wisdom. What does wisdom do for our faith journey? Here's what wisdom is. It's knowing what to do with what we know. Let me say that again. Wisdom is about knowing what to do with what we know. So earlier, I gave you some knowledge. You guys ready for some wisdom? I got some wisdom if you're taking notes again. This is wisdom from little kids. Ready? It's not mine. It's from little kids. Here it is. Never trust a dog to watch your food. That's fair. When dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. Don't answer him. Never try and baptize a cat. Felt markers don't make good lipstick. And here's a freebie from me. Ready? This is my wisdom. If you find yourself in Ecuador, don't drink the tap water 5 days into a 10-day trip. Listen, you will lose 10 pounds, and it is very effective, and I felt very good about my slimness. But wait till the last day so that you can deal with that issue at home and not in a third world country where they don't flush the toilet paper, they put it in a garbage can. Wisdom. So if you find yourself there, you will know what to do with what I gave you. You'll be like, oh, I know what to do with what I know. Don't drink the water until the last day. And then I don't have to work out for my summer bod. Wisdom is not merely a matter of the head. It's actually a matter of the heart and our behavior. Like, that's how it plays out. The person who is really wise will show that wisdom by the way that person lives their life. Your lifestyle, our lifestyle, is actually the leading indicator of the level of your wisdom. How are you living your life? And then we'll know whether you're living wisely or not. So I have three ways of wise living for you. First one, wise living starts with fearing the Lord. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So fearing the Lord is basically this. Because people are always like, I don't really understand what this means, fearing the Lord. Am I supposed to be scared of him? I don't understand. I thought I was supposed, he was a loving God. So fearing the Lord is basically this. It's recognizing that he is the creator. That he is the master and the Lord of all things. He is holy and he is awesome. And he calls the shots. That is the fear of the Lord. And in response to that knowledge, your willingness to submit yourself to him, that's wisdom. Knowing and recognizing that God is everything and awesome and powerful and the creator of all things is the knowledge. Submitting yourself to him is wisdom. Understanding that his plan is always going to be plan A for your life. Not plan B, not plan C. His plan is designed specifically for you and your place in the kingdom. What it comes down to is this, it's lordship. That's what we're talking about right now. Who and what are you giving lordship over your life? What sits at the top of your list? That's lordship. Is it money? Is it position? Is it comfort? Is it self-sufficiency? Or is it the one true God? Because if you land on the one true God, it's going to show by the way that you live your life. It starts with salvation and then it continues with humility. Number two, wise living grows by receiving God's word. Wise living grows by receiving God's word. Psalms 19:7 and 8. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Your behavior is going to show how wise you are. And you grow that by receiving God's word. The truth is, nothing can match the Bible for showing us the mind and the heart of God. Nothing. The more that we sink our roots into God through his word, the more that wisdom will mark our lives. See, there's excellent authors out there. Like, I'm a reader. Like, I love reading. I got a stack of books at home. Like, I got stacks. Like, our bookshelves are full. Our side table. Like, there's books everywhere in our house. And because I'm in ministry, people always feel like they want to give me books. And they're like, this book changed my life. You should read it. And I'm like, don't drink the water in Ecuador. Been there. And so I got books at home, and there's excellent authors out there. I just looked the other day, I got How to Hear from God, Welcoming the Future Church, The God Ask, Church Planting is for Wimps, Once You See. Like, these, this is just a small sampling of the, there is good literature out there for us to learn and gather knowledge. And these are people that love God and want to see people grow in God and want to see the kingdom grow. I'm not throwing that aside, but there is nothing like the word of God for us to go out and get the knowledge that will help us to live wisely in the heart and in the mind of God. That's where you have to land first. Third, wise living requires that we ask for it. James 1, 5, and 6. And if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom, and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with generous grace. Just make sure that you ask empowered by confident faith, without doubting that you will receive. For the ambivalent person receives 1 minute, believes 1 minute, and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas, driven and tossed by the wind. You're up 1 minute and you're tossed down the next. When you're half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. You have to ask for it, and he'll give it. What we're doing or what we're not doing is this. We're not coming to God for a second opinion. Like, that's not what we're doing. Like, you can go to the doctor, and if he doesn't tell you what you want to hear, you can go to another doctor and go, this guy told me I should stop drinking pop and eating chips. What do you think? You'll eventually find a doctor that'll be like, yeah, you can eat all the chips and pop you want. What we're not doing with God and wisdom is we're not going to him for a second opinion. He's the first. What we're doing is we're coming to God and we're saying, overwrite your wisdom over this, Lord. Whatever you show me, I will follow. That is wisdom. Father, overwrite your wisdom on what I'm thinking. And the beauty of this is that we can come even in our failures. Like, even when we get it wrong, even when we've done it our own way, we can still come to him, even when we've come to the end of our rope, even when we've screwed it up with our wisdom. We can come to him, and what he'll do is he's going to overwhelm us with his grace and go, okay, here's my wisdom now. We almost always miss out on something that God has for us if we try to limit the Holy Spirit. Wisdom and knowledge, both given freely by the Holy Spirit. Different, but working alongside, in tandem. For what purpose? So that we can help each other. Like, that's what it comes down to, folks. It's not about how much knowledge I have and how wise I am. Those things are available to me. But at the end of the day, I want to take both of those and I want to apply them to my life, not to better my living standards, not to get ahead of the game, not to be able to be the guy that stands up here and preaches, but so that we may help each other. Like, that's where we want to land. When we take knowledge and wisdom, we want to land together. And that's what we're going to do. The more we say yes to God, Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Father God, you're so good. Like, you're so good that I lack words, Father. I try and find the most flowery language sometimes, and I get caught up on how well does this look and sound when I'm up here, Father. And I just can't even capture it. Like, I can't capture your goodness, that you offer us these things through your Spirit. That you're going, I love you so much that, like, I'm going to help you walk this stuff out. That is your goodness, Father. Help us to take hold of that as individuals, as married couples, as single people, as friends, as neighbors, as brothers, as sisters. Help us to take hold of you, Father, so much that all our relationships, all our things, our entire living is just soaked in who you are. And it just comes pouring out of us. And that people take notice. And they say, that is someone that wants to help. So Father, can you help us do that? Can you help us take a hold of these things, these gifts that you have for us, and run with them? Not to fill the seats, just to fill the seats, but to build the kingdom. To go out to our neighborhood and say, hey, I just want to help. Can I just help? Help us to do that, Father. Help us to get out of our own way and take a hold of these things. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for being with us here this morning. We just super appreciate that you're here. We just want to bless you for the rest of the week. Blessings in your comings and goings, in your conversations with people. Be bold, love people, live wisely, enjoy your small groups. If you're not in a small group, why? Come see me. I'll put you in one, okay? Blessings. We'll see you all next week.